Hey guys, it's Gary Vee. You need to listen to Acquired Empires with me in it, because the fact of the matter is, it will be the single greatest episode of Acquired Empires ever.
You are listening to the Acquired Empires podcast with your host, Jacob Brown, the show where we bring on industry experts and real-time practitioners to discuss the tricks of the trade around buying online businesses. And now your host, Jacob Brown.
So for this interview we had on Gary Vee, and it was an awesome interview in my opinion, we dug into some real personal questions that I had for just Gary to know more about his business buying strategy, and plus we also got into very tangible tactics that people can actually take to use acquisition in their favor. So I had a limited time, and the recording was supposed to be 5 minutes, but I got it, thanks to Gary being just very generous, I got it stretched to a little bit longer. So I enjoyed this one quite a bit, and I hope you do too. So let's get into it. Your grand plan to buy the New York Jets is to buy brands, grow them, and then flip them.
Yes.
What is your criteria for buying these brands?
Opportunity costs, meaning I'm going to wait till the economy collapses.
Okay.
And I'm going to bottom feed.
Okay.
You know?
Just all off the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the world's going to melt.
Yes.
In the next 2 to 7 years. Who knows when? If I did, I would trade that way.
Yes.
And hopefully I'll be in a financial position, which is how I'm dealing with cash and investment and VaynerMedia, to buy something that today would cost me $330 million. And I could buy it for 27. You're a young dude.
A lot
of people don't realize how bad it gets when shit really hits the fan.
Okay.
Like, it's been a great economy now for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for a lot of people under, you know, if you're under 32, if you're 32 and under, you don't even know what real life looks like in a bad economy. And if you're 35, you were still kind of young, and you were like probably 22, 23, 24, so you weren't affected. So like you almost have to be like 40 today to even have like a good contextual concept of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Minimally got to be 32 because you remember it was hard to get a job.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, I don't think people understand that like everybody's going to go out of business. Like,
and you're just going to buy, how many companies do you think you'll
I only want to buy one. If you notice the numbers I threw out, it's not like I want to buy a bunch of things for a million. I want to buy
a big
Twix.
Okay.
I want to buy K-Swiss. I want to buy, you know, Panasonic. I mean, these, you know, whatever it may be, Captain Crunch or
big legacy brand. That's your
criteria. Nostalgia, because I think I just said those things and everybody listening is like, oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. Versus I'm going to start freshy, fresh cereal. There's so much money in the nostalgia of that kind of brand awareness. I mean, look what I'm doing. I've been bleeding my face off to create brand awareness.
Yeah.
And still 99% of America doesn't know who I am, yet 99% of America knows exactly what Captain Crunch is. Got it?
Hmm.
People don't understand brand.
So brand, that's your... Okay.
So hopefully I'll have a lot of things to look at. I'm like, oh, okay, I could buy this tire company, or I could buy this shampoo, or I can buy this Sharpie, the pen company, or I could buy this candy bar from this Hershey's company. And I'll be like, okay, at this moment, based on how I feel and what I know, I'm going to buy Bubblicious.
Okay.
Got it?
Got it.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay, good. So to get more practical for less $100 million stuff, if a business, small or large, was wanting to buy an Instagram account to be a marketing arm for them, how would you recommend them going about doing that?
Finding the account and the name that they like and DMing the person and saying, how much do you want for this account?
Just straight up outreach.
Like if you're an ice cream store and you've got 9 locations in Baltimore, the first thing I do is go check out ice cream, like the account ice cream.
Which will be
expensive, you know. But some people own names. Like somebody hit me up the other day. He's like, "Yo, my friend owns this account." And I think it was like 3 letters that made a word. And they're like, and they're being offered $400,000 for the Instagram account. I'm like, sell it and sell it now, because like I know you can buy good names for $10,000. So like, so you never know. That was the extreme one way.
Yeah,
you might hit up ice cream and it might be some kid who's like $5,000. You know, you never know.
Okay. So just top down outreach is sort of okay. So this
Tyler.
Get Tyler real quick. While you're talking, I'm going to find out how much Tyler's been offered for. Tyler owns @Tyler on Instagram.
Ah, that's good.
And I'm curious while we're doing this episode if I can find out from him.
I love to know the actual prices.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. Hey, Ty, have you been, you know, I love this podcast. Sorry, everybody listening to the podcast. Have you ever been offered an actual number for @Tyler? An actual number, not theory.
Yes.
How much?
$50,000.
Cool. You passed, huh?
Yeah.
You passed. Okay. What?
I think he passed because I think having @Tyler works with the ladies. And I think that for me,
it's leverage.
It's a leverage in society and culture that he doesn't want to give up. Tyler, true or false? True or false, Tyler?
True.
I knew it. I knew it. The end.
Yeah.
He's going to come up with, he was going to try to come up with something else. You saw his head thinking?
No, true. But like, there's also a lot more truths to that as well.
Like?
Like,
you think it's worth more in the future?
Yeah. I don't know if
Tyler
Perry,
the creator reach out to you?
That was false. People, this phone number thing is fucked up. Mm. Is because once people get my phone number, then if I confirm that it's me, then they can hack. They go to Verizon, they hack into my account because someone in Verizon's selling access into people's things and hacking people's Instagram accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So I didn't confirm. That's why I was like, I'm not sure if this is Tyler. Let's get on the phone. And then they ended up stop talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Keep going.
That was a bit. Okay. So that's.
But the reason I did that, and for everybody listening, I'm trying to bring value. Like, by asking Tyler what it was cost, it gives you a framework. Okay. We now confirm that one person's once offered $50,000 for the name @Tyler. Now you can use that as, what does that mean?
And that's still, I mean, if a brand, it's still, I think, at a cheap side. But let's pivot a bit. But your dad.
Yes.
On the buying business front, let's pivot to that. Your dad, Sasha, went from being a store clerk to an owner of that store. What was his path to do that? Not like grandiose, more structured.
He saved every dollar. Everybody quit the liquor store at one point. He eventually had to become the manager.
Okay.
It was a passive owner.
Okay.
He did a good job running it. The owner was my dad's great uncle. Was his cousin? My dad's great uncle, second cousin, I guess.
Okay.
The guy that owned it when my dad was the manager was his grandmother's brother's son. So second cousin, I think. I'm bad with that stuff. But okay. I think it was his second cousin who was like 15 years older than him, who was well off. We were poor. This was a side business that the guy owned, a liquor store, because he owned the whole shopping center. And so he saw that my dad was making the business grow very quickly, wanted to do the right thing by my dad because, you know, we were the immigrants from the old country here, and saw a business opportunity and was smart and gave my dad the ability to buy half the business,
which
incentivized him more. He was passive anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's how my dad started. Then eventually, 7, 8, 9 years later, my dad bought him out.
Okay, so he saved up more of his pennies.
We spent no money from 1978 to 1989, none. Outside of a townhouse that my parents bought, we bought nothing. All my clothes was T-shirts from liquor store. Like guys, there's a lot of ways to get rich. One of them is not to spend money. If I saved the way my parents saved, I might own the Jets now. I mean, I have a very high overhead in my lifestyle. Even though I don't buy stuff, I buy experiences, infrastructure. Like, it's a big P&L. If I saved like my parents, they had no P&L. Like, there was no expenses. Save. And I did that early on, pre-marriage. I didn't make any money. The reason I was able to buy Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr stock was I had some on the back of making 60, 70, 80,000 a year. If you make 60,000 a year, and then you've got 42 after taxes, but your life costs you 20, you save for 22. Like, you know, it's not rocket science, but people don't do that. They make 60, which gives them 42 or 53 or whatever your taxes are, but they spend 63 a year and they're 11,000 in debt.
So just hoarding pennies.
You know, it's funny. I've never, you know, I got into this garage sale flipping thing. I might really get into like expenses as a category. it's a little less authentic to me. I'm a little removed from it now for the last decade, but I can go there, mm-hmm. which was I paid $2,000 rent. I did nothing else. I worked every minute and bought nothing. Went nowhere, bought nothing. Just food.
Then you've got that. You've got the extra chip to play, and then it's like
yeah. And then when you have the time, then the moment came. Mm-hmm. Startup culture. I mean, boy, if I had, was making real money, I would have been off to the races.
Okay, well, that's. I just wanted to dive in. I don't think you'd ever fully fleshed out, and it's just a. It's a local hero sort of story, you know. And yeah, so my next question is, what if a parent was wanting to buy a business for a kid, you know, it's to start them off or something like that, how would you recommend them going about that?
By not doing it.
By not doing it. Okay.
I think buying a business for your kid, and listen, yeah. every situation is different.
Yes.
But right off the bat sets up a negative situation.
Okay.
8 out of 10 times in my Gary V radar.
Holding it over them.
Cool. I mean, that's keep going. Keep going. Next.
Being like handed something, I gave you this.
You know, like when I talk about like entitlement and things of that nature, a lot of people come at me and be like, fuck you, dude. I'm like, no, fuck you. You think I was handed something.
Mm-hmm.
Like I grew my dad's business for him and left with nothing. That's the narrative. Put into bed, black and white. Cool. I know everybody's manifested whatever makes them feel better about it so that they don't have to take my advice of suffocating their bullshit. But like, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I went and worked for 13 years for my family business, exploded it, left with nothing. Cool. Mm-hmm. Let's save a lot of time. That is the game.
Mm-hmm.
So for everybody, you were handed $3 million or my daddy gave me the opportunity to build his business for him. That's just real talk.
And that's
the fucking truth.
And you don't want that on somebody else.
No, I do not.
Okay.
More importantly, my dad's awesome and I'm cool with everything. Let me rephrase. Listen to what I said.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have wanted my dad to hand me the business.
Yes.
I think it's a dangerous precedent. Like, I think a much better thing to buy your kid a business is this. Okay. Somebody who's gonna buy a business. Let's say they wanted to buy a $287,000 business at the bar, mm-hmm. and they wanna see what the kid can do. Why don't you give the kid $287,000 and tell them they owe you $287,000? But they can pay you back whenever with no interest. That excites me way more than buying your kid a business.
Then they go to where they actually are interested in. And yeah.
They make a decision, they are on the hook, they owe you $287,000. I think the great gift a parent can do to a lot of times people are like, Gary, that's not realistic. You're gonna see. I'm like, cool. Lend them the money.
Mm-hmm.
We went away from this generation. You three characters are part of the generation where lending money from your parents isn't the norm, but it was for your parents and like a generation before you. It was, we will lend you the money, you pay us back. Now we're in the gifting because the abundance and the wealth creation.
Okay.
Now we hand, which already breaks it. We got away from lending. Lending is a great mitzvah. Your parents giving you $100,000 that you owe them, that's a great gift, but still has dramatically more merit. I'd much rather, like my buddies razz me of like, well, your dad gave you $100,000 to start you. Yeah, but I paid it back. There's a good thing there. It's still better than like, you know, people look, everybody wants a point to somebody else that had it better than them.
Mm-hmm.
I like to look at everybody who has it worse than me. Like I don't like, I play the, like why? Judge somebody else, you know? It's a loser mentality.
Yeah. Okay. The sports card trading business that you're looking to buy.
Yes.
How's that going?
I'm not sure exactly what I'm doing, meaning I know sports cards very well. Okay. I don't have a real set thing.
Okay.
Meaning, would I be interested in buying Upper Deck or Topps or things of that nature? Mm-hmm. Sure. I don't want to buy anything else. Like, it's not like I want to buy... You know,
it's just
card
the
card shop,
just the actual brands,
or something else that I don't know yet. But like,
okay.
How's it going? I think sports cards are going to be a lot bigger in the world in 3 to 5 years, and so that's on my mind.
Okay. Reasons? What were your reasons around acquiring PureWell?
I wanted to be in the publishing business.
Okay.
Because I want to build a communications Death Star, and I have the agency and the media buying capabilities, but I didn't own a publisher.
So it was a pivot into that world.
It was not a pivot. It was an addition to the VaynerX machine.
Okay,
I had the agency. I didn't have the publishing.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Wieden and Kennedy, the Crispin Porters, if you know anything about the advertising. Mad Men? I had Mad Men.
Yeah.
I didn't have Sports Illustrated or the New York Post or People Magazine.
So you just added that piece to your Death Star. Okay. Yes. What would be your recommendations for somebody who's considering buying a business versus building one? What's sort of the criteria for you?
I think it's personal. I think people need to know what they're about, right? Like, you know, they both work. You need to know yourself. Some people are great at analyzing somebody's business and see what they can do better. Other people love the, like, it's my baby and my idea. I think that's a very personal thing. I've done both, and I'll continue to do both.
Okay, so that's all the questions. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating. It helps us out a whole lot, and we really appreciate you taking the time to listen. Have a good one.